Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, John Schwab here, and welcome to episode 175 of the Curtain Call podcast. Curtain Call is the podcast that takes you deep behind the scenes of the theater world, bringing you in-depth conversations with the story makers that are shaping the future of theater. We pull back the curtain to reveal the stories behind the stories and give you a glimpse into the backstage world like no other podcast does. And this week we have a returning guest, one of my favorites, but one we haven't heard from in quite some time. And that's not to say that she hasn't been busy. Since last speaking to her, she's written and performed a celebrated one-woman show, Elephant, and appeared in the Olivier Award-winning revival and redefining version of Oklahoma, belovedly known as Sexy Oklahoma, here in the Young Vic and in the West End, where she was nominated for Best Actress at the 2023 Olivier's for her turn as Lori. And her debut album, Dark Soul, was produced by Martin Tarif, Jamie Collum, Katie Tunstall, Martha Wainwright, no less, and was released in July 2019. But before that, in 2018, she composed 8 original songs for Sparks, a new play by Jessica Butcher, which went on to win Best Musical at the Edinburgh Fringe. I mean, and this is after she started her career in 2016's Regent's Park open-air theater production of Jesus Christ Superstar, where we first saw and met her. I mean, look, it's not surprising that Anushka sounds like she's running at life, and she's doing very well at that. Since she started writing music at the age of 14, and she has also a degree in French and Russian from Oxford University. I mean, why not? And now she's got a musical about to debut on BBC World Service, BBC Sounds, and loads of other places, which we're going to talk about today. You Dot Me, the complete musical, tells the story of Rose and Rio, two young strangers who meet online and fall in love during the pandemic. And this results in Rio flying across the world from Japan to London to find Rose. Now, in part two, we meet Rose and Rio again. The relationship takes an unexpected turn, and Rose has to take on the deepest challenges of her life. And we'll talk about that too. Now, I chatted with Anushka over the interwebs as she was busy rehearsing for her latest gig as Elizabeth Proctor in Crucible, and we'll talk more about that later. So it would have been great to record in person, but we were just too far apart this time. But it doesn't matter. We had a great conversation. So, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the incomparable Anushka Lucas. Have a listen. So, Anushka.
Hello.
We are doing this remotely. You're up in Sheffield. You're rehearsing, and we'll go through that. We'll go through what you've been up to, what you're up to now, and we're going to talk about You, Me, the complete musical.
Yes.
Which I'm greatly obsessed. The trailer of this is off the charts good. I mean, it looks incredible.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yes.
But listen, I'd like to go back because you've been on our podcast before. I think it was 2017 initially. This was back in.
Well, I think it was 2016.
Was it 2016?
Yeah, I think so. Was it Jesus Christ Superstar?
It was Jesus Christ Superstar. Was that 2016? Oh my Lord. Okay. You see there. I'm giving myself a year. But you were unbelievable in that. I loved that production. The Regent's Park is an incredible place anyway. The venue, if you haven't gone to a production at Regent's Park, go, because part of the joy about it is the atmosphere, the literally outdoor of it all. Like,
absolutely.
And with your production, it was astonishing. And with Gethsemane being sung, and then, you know, listen, spoiler alert, Jesus dies on
what?
The cross.
He does all that. In our case, covered in glitter, but it was bizarrely violent despite the glitter replacing the blood. Yeah, it was very intense.
I mean, there was so much glitter.
Mm. There was, yes, I actually found glitter in a drawer in my house about 2 years later. And I was like, where the hell did this come from? And I was like, this comes from Jesus Christ Slumber 2016.
You were phenomenal in that. And then I saw you recently in Oklahoma, or as they call it, sexy Oklahoma, a little stripped back version. And I thought, hold on a second. All right, Anushka Lucas, how do you not age at all in this? You know, I was just like, this is ridiculous. There's some kind of witchy thing going on here.
Fun. You know how to sweeten up your guests.
No. It was incredible. And what it was so much fun. I loved it. I loved just the kind of feel, the vibe.
Oh my God, it was so beautiful because we did all, it was a big selling point to me. I heard the album before I really understood what the production was. And I've always been a big Rodgers and Hammerstein fan. My dad made me watch Oklahoma when I was a kid.
So sort of dream ballet and all.
Yeah. Where have they gone, those dream ballets? But
I know.
I'm, you know, obviously come from a more sort of jazz background.
Yes.
And very interested in like live music, acoustic sounds. And I think in modern musicals, sometimes the musicianship and the sound of the band gets compressed or diluted in a way so that they're sort of just serving the people on stage. And the Oklahoma, sexy Oklahoma, Daniel Fish's Oklahoma, it was very much music front and forward, and everything was reorchestrated for like a bluegrass band, and we had a pedal steel guitar, and it was just a joy.
And you could watch it all. Like the band was like sitting in the audience.
In the West End or at the Young Vic?
I saw it at the West End, yeah.
Yeah. And in the Young Vic, they were in the middle of us, and it was really, yeah, it's very fun, but it feels so organic. You think that is what's going on, you know? It was sort of staged as though it was inside a community hall. Oh, my washing machine is going crazy in the background. I wonder if you're listening to hear it. Just putting on a quick cotton's wash, guys.
Yeah. Those are the most important, aren't they?
Yeah, it's important. You get to a point in rehearsals where you're like, I need more socks, which is what happened. Oh, my God. Anyway, I apologize for that.
It's okay. It's all good.
Yeah, the band were amazing. And the band we had in London, both productions, they were truly extraordinary. Extraordinary musicians. Yeah.
So before we get into what you're doing now, I mean, because there's something that is going to take place, I believe it's on the 21st of Feb. And that is a brand new musical, world premiere of a new musical called You, Me, The Complete Musical.
I'm going to pop in and say it's called You Dot Me.
You Dot, okay. You Dot Me. Thank you.
That's okay. The dot is pronounced.
Okay. And thank you for clearing that up because it is there. I mean, if we were being completely pedantic, it could be You Dot Me colon.
It could. It could be a punctuation heavy musical, but we're just going for the one in the middle. You Dot Me.
I will put a link to the trailer for everyone to see because I think they should go see the trailer because it kind of shows, it really puts you in the world. But can you give me a little background about A, how you came to know the piece, and B, what it's about, and C, what people can expect when they watch?
Yeah. So You Dot Me was originally conceived by a commissioner or a producer at a BBC Worldwide Service called Simon Pitts during the pandemic when we were in lockdown, and he missed going to the theater and he missed the sort of the sensation of being in the auditorium waiting for the show to start. And he thought, well, hang on, why don't we use the resources that we've got to create a new musical that can be distributed on an audio medium? And so he approached Theo Jameson, the composer, and they started to come up with this idea of a musical created for radio with the BBC Philharmonic Orchestra playing along, as you do. And the story would be centered around COVID. And I came on board with Martin Sarial in spring 2021, and we recorded this 1 hour long piece in a basement in Dean Street, well, in Dean Street Studios. And it was like peak lockdown. There was no one on the streets. I was supposed to be doing a play that was being pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And it really felt like theatre was under quite a lot of threat and stress. And the story essentially is I play a character called Rose, who's 25 and has moved to London to start her exciting life. And then it's gone into lockdown like 3 weeks after she's moved there, and she's suddenly on Zoom meetings all the time in her tiny rental box room. And one day on Zoom, she starts talking to someone else from her company, who's a boy called Rio, who turns out to be in Japan. And he is sort of having his own COVID pandemic experience over in Japan. And they end up sort of getting on pretty well, and then sparks fly. And then it's a question of whether or not it's possible to fall in love on Zoom.
Yeah.
And also, you know, what's the future for them? And then COVID also encroaches on that story a lot. There's moments of things happening in each of their personal lives. And then when we left it, it was sort of a spoiler, but at the end of 2021, we finished the session, and he decided to fly over to the UK to meet Rose and for them to try and be together for real, in real, because they think they love each other. And it went out on BBC World Service, and I think it had a bigger reception or reaction than maybe we expected. It really resonated with people. And so I ended up getting an email halfway through maybe late 2022 where they were like, "Hey guys, let's do a sequel." And we were like, "Oh, okay." And then the sequel came about, and the sequel is, well, what happened after he flew up to London? Did they meet up? Did they fall in love? And also, where are both these characters now? Are they okay with the pandemic? Spoiler alert, they are not.
Well, listen, where would the drama be, Anushka? It would be a very short act. It would be a very short act two.
Yeah, but, you know, they just got some therapy. Can you imagine if Todd was like, "I have these urges, but I'm going to control them," and then now there's no show. Yeah. So yes,
that's, but that's so cool. Like, I love the kind of the gumption to go, right, we need to do something. And I mean, of course, use the BBC Philharmonic. I mean, it is sumptuous sounds. I mean, it's beautiful. Anushka,
if you listen to them, the first one they recorded in isolation, every single instrument from the BBC Philharmonic Orchestra was a solo performer recording at home. And then Steve Levine, the producer, and the music team had to work to sort of make it sound like the BBC Philharmonic Orchestra. And there's something really cool as well, because the second one is about coming out of the pandemic and how do we reintegrate normal life. And so it feels really amazing that second episode we recorded like together, and also the orchestra played together. And it's like, what, is this the same as it was before, or is it a different thing? And what have we learned in the time that we'd sat around in our houses on Zoom for long periods of time?
That's incredible. Like, it's just incredible. I love that. I love the journey. And Stephen Fry, I believe he narrates this, doesn't he?
Yes, a nice, a lovely young actor. I wish him well. Yes, he does. He's
got a good future, doesn't he?
I think so. It was really amazing. When the job came through, if I'm really honest, when it came through, I was like, what is a radio musical? That doesn't sound like a thing. And then they were like, "Oh, Theo's writing the music." And I was like, "Oh, well, I do like Theo's music." And then they were like, "And Stephen Fry is narrating." And I was like, "Oh, I do like Stephen Fry." And then they were like, "And it's the BBC Philharmonic Orchestra." And I was like, "Where do I sign?" And yeah, it is a really lovely coming together of people who all have an interest in storytelling, really. And,
yeah.
And what was interesting in the pandemic was particularly those of us that thrive in live storytelling or live music or coming together, I think we all had to be quite inventive about where and how we could use the skills that we had developed to continue to be storytellers or music makers. And I'm really, really proud to be part of this. And it's such a wonderful, nice team of people who just wanted to make a show, you know?
I love it. I cannot wait for the 21st. I can't wait. You know, obviously go back and listen to the first part one, listen to part one. Yeah. And then part two, and we'll put everything in the show notes. We're now going to take a short break for a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to the Curtain Call podcast, where I'm speaking with the multi-talented and gorgeous Anushka Lucas. You also, Anushka, you are a recording artist as well.
I am a recording artist. I'm a slow recording artist. I released an album in 2019, which I'm pretty proud of, but was quite a torturous process, if I'm really honest. And then after that, theatre like became, I'm a very strange actor who can say bizarrely that my theatre career sort of gained traction across the pandemic. And so I became quite busy and I put music on the back burner for a while, but I've actually recently started rolling the ball on recording album number two. So hopefully in April, I'm getting into the studio.
Yeah, because you just have, look, everyone listening, you have a phenomenal voice. I love your voice. I also love you're just such a natural on stage. And I don't know if that comes from performing music in front of people, but you know, in Oklahoma, you were just, and also Jesus Christ Superstar, you just, you fill that stage and your voice is incredible, but also your physicality. And like, you kind of look like you belong on a West End stage. Is that?
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't even let you finish your question. What was your question, John?
No, I was just saying, does that kind of confidence? And I mean, cause listen, if it's not confidence and you're faking it, even better, but like, you know, does that confidence come from, you know, being, it's quite subjective when you're in front of a crowd singing your own music, your own words. Does that, were you able to take that into musical theater?
Well, it's so interesting that you say that because I obviously started out as a singer. I was a singer for 10 years with a band and I was gigging a lot and I transitioned into musical theatre by accident. I didn't really intend to become an actor. And then I got cast in Jesus Christ Superstar. And actually, if I'm really honest, I also quite early on was like, oh, I don't think I am a perfect fit for musical theatre. I only, you know, it's not coincidental that I was in that Jesus Christ Superstar and in that Oklahoma and I haven't done any other musicals because I think I have I don't have a traditionally musical theatre voice and I can't really dance for longer than 10 minutes without needing to lie on the floor. and then I went straight theatre, at which point I was really confronted by my body, actually, when I took singing away, because singing is something I've been doing in public since I was, I think, 14. And so to sing in public is an incredibly natural thing for me.
Right.
To speak in public and to fully inhabit another person is something that I've had to learn to do over the last, as opportunities came up. And I was like, oh, this is cool and this is sort of fun. And I was very, very lucky to get cast in a couple of shows where I was actually like quite a small part and able to sit in the corner and watch actors. And I was a musician in rehearsal rooms before I was an actor in rehearsal rooms. So
my
drama school training was like being on the piano for 6 years in rehearsal rooms, watching the actors and being like, that's cool. Maybe I could do that. But yeah, I sort of feel like it's why I like acting, because I find it really hard and I find singing very natural and easy. And so I personally am always I'm trying to find the right balance between doing the thing that comes naturally and doing the thing that I find challenging. And I don't want to be just singing all the time because that just feels like not as challenging as having to become, you know, I don't know, Catherine of France or the current Elizabeth Proctor.
You did my segue for me. I love you for it.
You're welcome. I'm a pro.
So we spoke just before we started recording, moving away from musical theater, Elizabeth Proctor, which is, I think, one of, you know, America's, you know, American kind of classic plays, you know, the what great characters, you know, and what she has to deal with. I mean, and, you know, that did that just land on your email and kind of go, hey, yes, I would like to go to the Crucible and do the Crucible. I mean, the Crucible.
Yes, I'm going to clarify one thing, which is very funny because people have recently been asking me how I choose my projects. And I'm going to first say people ask me if I would like to audition for things and then I go and audition for them. And if I get them, I'm like, how delightful. I'd love to do that and pay my rent. So I went through, I did a couple of auditions and actually I was in the middle of doing the play that I wrote and I was I did Oklahoma and then I went straight into Elephant, my play at the Bush, which
that's
is a
right.
one woman show. And then this audition for the Crucible came through halfway through. And to be honest, I was like, I'm fucking tired, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really want to learn a page of Elizabeth Proctor and, like, go and do the Crucible today. And then I went in to meet Anthony Lau, the director, and it was just one of my favorite auditions I've ever had. And I walked
I love it.
And I was
I love that.
To get this part. And then I went in again. And then my agent was very funny. I had a phone call with my agent where she was like, we sort of weighed up the pros and the cons because I'm writing something at the moment and I was making my album. And then we're also trying to do like screen auditions. And then she was like, well, you know, the only con I can really see, I hope I don't offend half your listeners, is she was like, you know, Sheffield in February is cold. And I was like,
it's just fact. It's fact.
Like, Alice, you're not wrong. And she was like, other than that, Elizabeth Proctor, the Crucible in Sheffield, Anthony Lau. She was like, it's 2 months. It's sort of a no brainer. We've been in rehearsals for 2 weeks now and the company is incredible. And it's exactly what I was saying in terms of, because I didn't go to drama school and because I didn't train in any way, which I increasingly think is a mixture of insanity and arrogance. I didn't go to an English school. I had no culture. Like, I'd never read The Crucible before I got asked to go and audition for The Crucible. In the same
That's okay.
I'd never read Henry V before I got asked to go in. And so I'm sort of like playing catch up and I want to be doing these canonical pieces every now and again to be like, what is this and how do I be Elizabeth Proctor? Because I'm obviously not, sadly, I'm not Sophie Okonedo. And and there's just, it's so thrilling and it's such a good play. Oh my God. It's so good.
It is one of my favorites, as you know.
With it, and we're trying to do some really cool stuff with it. Like, you know, I'm trying to, my Elizabeth is hopefully going to seem fairly powerful and vindictive, good. Which is fun. You know, she is definitely a woman scorned. So yeah, it's really fun.
Great. It's a great, you know, listen, it's a great play. I tell my boys, like, you know, John Proctor says, because it is my name. Like, it is, and that is a thing. Like, what do you have if you don't have your name? And I said, that's the one thing you're given in this world that actually has the value you put on it. So make sure that you.
I want to support you, John. But today after rehearsals, I hate John Proctor. I just. I'm sorry. He's screwed over both of you in such a phenomenal way. He's thrown this vulnerable 16-year-old under the bus,
completely under the bus.
He resents his wife for holding him accountable for his own affair.
I know.
Sorry, I'm feeling my feelings. I'm very method.
That's great. I love it. I absolutely love it. Well, Anushka, I have seen you on stage and I know there's both a humility that you carry, like, and you're a physicality which says I belong right where I'm standing, and a grounded.
Oh God, John, please don't feed you and say that. No,
I will, but you do. I believe everything you say on stage, and it's a real gift, and I can't wait to see what happens. I would love to talk to you all night, but you need to hang out.
No, but because I moved into these digs and then I didn't realize there were any laundry tablets, and I'm going to finish telling your listeners that today I went to rehearsals. This is disgusting. In a pair of socks that I took out of the laundry basket this morning.
Because not judging.
It's
not
an emergency.
We have all done it. Anushka, I really wish you all the best. I really wish you all the best for this production. I cannot wait to see what people say.
Thank you very much. And I hope
you have a great time in Sheffield.
You.me, and as I affectionately call it, 2.me.
2.me. I love it. I'll put it all in the show notes. And again, good luck with that all. And thanks for coming back.
You're so welcome. Bye.
Thank you. Anoushka Lucas there. Singer, songwriter, actor, composer, all-round fantastic person. And writer. Writer. Script writer. Don't forget. We wish her all the best for her turn as Elizabeth Proctor at the Crucible in Sheffield, and I will put links to tickets in and dates in the show notes so just everyone's informed. U.me, the musical, the complete musical, will launch on February 21st, 2024. That's this year on BBC World Service, BBC Sounds, YouTube, and other podcast providers. And again, I will put a link in the show notes to find that. If you want to reach out to me, you can find me on all the socials at John Schwab, J-O-H-N-S-E-H-W-A-B. And it just gives me great pleasure to thank Anoushka Lucas for being an incredible guest again. Also, a big shout out to Candy Adams from Candy Adams PR for helping make it all happen. And once again, thank you to Shure Microphones for being our equipment sponsors. We love you guys. Lastly, I love you all too. Thank you all for listening. Speak soon and stay safe. Bye. What do you need to scale your business? You need to get accurate data instantly, from clicks to ROI. You need to run, control, and manage all your marketing campaigns from one tab. You need to use best practices for high performance, scale profit like never before. You need to keep all your finance under control, all expenses in one place. You need to get out of routine, do business, not technological tasks. So, what do you need to scale your business? You need AIO software, the single marketing platform to analyze, test, observe, and launch ad campaigns.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.